Welcome to the Inclusive Education Project. I'm Vicki Brett.
I'm Amanda Salohi. We're two civil rights lawyers on a mission to change the conversation about education, civil rights, and modern activism.
Each week, we're going to explore new topics which are going to educate and empower others
and give them a platform to enact change in education and level the playing field.
Welcome back, listeners. We had fake summer here for a couple days in California. And now we're back to, I guess, it's supposed to rain again.
Yeah, more rain. And of course, it conveniently decides to rain on the weekends only.
I know. That's so tough. April showers, which, bring my flowers.
I apologize if you're listening to this outside of California and you're like, wah, wah, wah. We don't feel bad for you because... You know what? We haven't had nice weather. I mean, it's now April, and like we have been in cold and gloomy and wet all school year. And you know what? We pay a lot of money living in California.
We pay a lot of money. That's the only thing. That's the only saving grace. Oh, we pay a lot of money. But you know, we were just talking about how some kiddos are out end of May, and it's like middle of April, and so like the push for those annual IEPs, those transition IEP meetings. Those meetings were other thing. I know. We are in it. And so we wanted to talk about it. This is just a solo episode today, you guys. Solo as solo with two people can be. and it is the power of stay put. So in the past, we've talked about stay put, but we really wanted to dedicate an episode simply because both of us have cases where it's been used in different ways. And, you know, one of the ways that we describe it when we do trainings, presentations, workshops is, you know, the parent, if they disagree with a change in the IEP. So like the general example is they are going to be taking away speech and language services. And if the parent does not agree and they cannot, you know, the team and the parent cannot come to a mutual understanding at the IEP, then... And if parent wants to consent to the IEP, for instance, like the other goals and the other services, just so that there's no interruption, they can consent in part and then they can stay put on the part that they don't disagree with.
Right.
Or that they, don't agree.
I mean, it's essentially saying that there is a disagreement about something that is being proposed, whether it's to add something or take something away or change something in the IEP. There's a disagreement. Yeah. So the concept is we're going to keep things the same while we flush out the disagreement. And so technically it's supposed to be used primarily if you're filing for due process. You file for due process to resolve the dispute of the decrease in speech or the change in placement, whatever it may be, and that the court wants things to remain the same so that the child isn't disrupted, you know, obviously in the event that, let's say, whatever it is that the parent is, their position is, prevails. Don't want to change them and have to change them back. So it's supposed to stay the same during the resolution of this disagreement. In practice, it's not always used with litigation. And because basically, essentially, it's up to the school district on whether or not they're going to file for due process on that. The parents can obviously always file. But more often than not, we get situations where the school district proposes a change, an additional, a subtraction of something on the IEP. The parent disagrees. Everything stays the same for that portion until the dispute is resolved. So the school should be holding another IEP to discuss this further and say, can we resolve this? Maybe we're going to tweak or look up a third option. But a lot of
I mean, I would argue this is one of the most important legal rights that a parent can have, right? Because in California specifically, right? Like, we are, and you have to state that, right? Especially in your written consent, like you know, I think sometimes we also, when we're talking to clients, it's like, if there's something else that's going on that the parent doesn't agree with, and, you know, there's no other changes in OT or PT or anything like that, then, you know, you could just say, look, I'm just going to stay put on everything. I actually don't agree to anything, like, let's resolve like whatever dispute. And we've seen people do it in a very thoughtful, articulate way. And we've seen people do it in a way that is hurts them more than does good.
And now the way you do it is going to depend on your state, whether you're in a consent state or not. So a reminder, even though the federal law is the same across states, there are certain nuances that have been left that are different state to state. So in consent states like California, the school district cannot make any change, cannot start anything, stop anything until parent consents. So in practice, if the parent doesn't agree with the change, if they just don't consent, even if they don't say, I assert my stay put rights, mm-hmm. stay put comes into effect, or it should, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But in a non-consent state, you do have to be a little bit more proactive and assert those rights, because in a non-consent state, you don't have to consent for things to get started. So you have to really be clear that, like, this change, I do not agree to this change. So it's going to look a little bit different on, like, how you approach it.
Yeah. And, you know, we have been seeing with certain districts, you know, the federal law does require them to send you a prior written notice of a proposed change. So maybe if you assert that right, you know, within the meeting itself, you know, there may be a follow up of a prior written notice, you know, indicating what their proposed changes is going to be. And if not, if you get the prior written notice before, then you want to take action to show, hey, I'm actually disputing the change that you're going to make. And that could be, you know, then immediately requesting another IEP to try and resolve it. And at times it may mean filing a complaint, a due process or mediation only. We've had some clients do that as well. One of the ways that I kind of also wanted to point out is for an initial evaluation. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we'll get parents that actually agree with the goals, the services, let's just even say placement, but they don't agree with the eligibility category. That is, you know, then that means that you don't have stay put. You've just started this. So yeah. It's important to kind of make that distinction that you would want to resolve that as quickly as possible, because right. it is a situation where those services won't get started until you agree.
Because stay put reverts to the last consented mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. IEP, or mm-hmm. if you're only talking about a portion, the last consented to portion. So the last IEP that you consented to speech. And, you know, I mean, realistically, like, I mean, I've had cases where, you know, a school district wants to decrease services, let's say OT, and a parent yes. disagreed. And it's literally something that the parents have to keep straight because they haven't consented to OT for like 4 years because the school district just continue to make their offer that, like, we continue to believe that a decrease in OT is necessary. However, you know, we're not going to file for due process on it, so we're just going to continue. And in some cases that works fine. In cases where I've seen it for, like, let's say OT is where there's consultation or there's, it's not a ton of direct service. So it's like 30 minutes a month where the OT comes out to make sure that sensory strategies are working and if they need to be tweaked, and there may not be direct service goals for that OT. It's more of accommodations. And so the school district doesn't feel like it's worth, like, the OT may be say, everything's working great, I don't think I need my services. And the parents say, well, it's working great because we've got this maintenance.
We hit the stride.
And all of that. And so the disagreement isn't big enough where the school district feels that it's worth, you know, say going to due process to enforce. So we may get times where you have stay put for years and years. And then other times where a school district, they file for due process right away because maybe you're asking for stay put in placement. A student, for instance, is having behaviors. The school district says, this isn't working in the general education classroom. We need to pull them, remove them to a special day class. The parent says, nope, starting to stay put rights. And the school district says, well, because of the safety issue and the concerns, maybe there's maladaptive behaviors. Yeah. And I've literally had these cases where then they file for due process on that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, obviously it depends case to case. Like, I know Amanda had just said years and years. Those are the people that are coming to us that, you know, have fallen through the cracks. We would not recommend being in stay put for years and years and years. Obviously, if you are in active hearing and you're in active pursuit of resolving the disputes, it's a little different. But yes, you know, we've seen those situations. And another example from my earlier example that I kind of wanted to pinpoint as well is, like, the opposite. Let's say that you actually agree that your child needs an IEP and you agree with the eligibility, but you don't agree with anything else. Swift action needs to be taken to alert the school district that you do in fact agree that your child needs special education. And what we'll see is a parent just, like, disagree with everything. And now, of course, again, it just depends on the situation, but more often than not, you want everybody to know on the district side that you actually agree that your child needs to have an IEP, and consenting even to that portion so that you have stay put, right? In the sense that, well, my child should have been, you know, if this is dragging on for a year, at least you can say, well, a year ago, I agreed that this child was eligible, and it's taken us a year to try to resolve everything else. That's not okay. I think what we've kind of seen some recent cases come out where there was like confusion around like the initial and whether or not the parents had agreed. And, you know, we feel pretty strongly based on recent case law that, you know, if you agree with eligibility, you want that so that you can have some form of, of stay put and, you know, the power of it and it being a right of the parent that they kind of know about, but kind of don't. I think sometimes we've heard district staff say something along the lines of like, well, if you don't sign the IEP, we can't get started on everything.
Right.
Yes, this is technically true. If they have, you know, new goals, new services, those new services cannot get started. But if this has been the same type of service your child had the year before or even the year before that, and, you know, it's you're going to be able to maintain, like there's pros and cons to everything, right?
And you can do partial consent, partial stay put.
Yes.
You know, but you want to be really clear when you do that. So like what we recommend is if you are asserting stay put on certain things and not others, it's not just a blanket. On the actual IEP document, you would say something like see letter dated and then do the date and then do a separate letter. And the separate letter would outline, these are the items that I agree to in, you know, the April 12th, 2024 IEP. And then detail them. And they can be that we agree to some goals. We agree to goal number 1 and 5 and 7. And I agree to these accommodations and I agree to eligibility. And then you outline like, but I don't agree with these goals. And the thing that is really helpful is when you do that, if you don't just say, I don't agree with these. And so I don't consent. If you can explain why. So if there's goals you're not agreeing with, you say, I don't agree with goal number 7, because I don't believe it's challenging enough. Or I believe it's on a skill that we've already gone through, or I believe my child's already met it, or it's on an accurate baseline, or whatever the case may be. That's going to be helpful because then the school district is required to respond to that and either provide you with more data, more information, hold an IEP, and they know how can we address this.
Which we've actually seen that an increase in that where a parent will say why they disagree with a specific goal, and then a prior written notice will come and it'll say, okay, we agree with you. We're going to hold an IEP meeting and the team will discuss these changes in the way in which we, I was just reading a record that had had that in it. And that kind of helps you guys get to that next step and resolving things that much quicker. We've also had them say yes in a prior written notice and then provide, you know, the change in the language. Sometimes it's just a change in language. And then, boom, you're resolving, you're signing the new IEP non-meeting amendment, and we're on our way. But, you know, there are different ways, and they're certainly as a powerful tool for parent. But with that, when parents are hearing from other parents that they're in stay put for years and years, like, I think that's where the waters get muddied. And that's why we wanted to have just like this key takeaway with, okay, well, what happens if I disagree with it? Have you had a positive experience with stay put, Amanda, that where the parent?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've had circumstances where, and let's just talk about like a placement decision, because this is easier, where a student is in general education and let's say they have an aide and there's some behavior, there's some concerns going on, or maybe, or I've had situations where they have an aide and another was where they don't have an aide. I've had this happen a lot. And the school district says there's some behaviors, there's this and that, and like, it's just not working in general education. We need to move to a special day class. I come in and say, look, there's really not enough information to say definitively we need to move, because one, maybe there hasn't been an FBA if we're dealing with behaviors. Maybe we haven't taken data. Maybe the aide hasn't been in there. Maybe we haven't pushed in the services that need to be pushed in. And so I come in and say, look, we're going to assert stay put, but here's what we'd like from you. We'd like you to take data, X, Y, and Z. We want to look at these behaviors, or we want to do an FBA. We want to do an assessment. Reality is when you're changing placements, we should have an assessment to prove that change of placement is necessary. Oftentimes that doesn't happen. So where I've come in and I've said, okay, look, and especially like this time of school year, we see requests to change placements this time of year to say, we're going to change placement for next school year. And a lot of times I go, wait, if we're going to change placements at the beginning of the school year, like a lot can happen over the summer. A lot can happen with the beginning of the school year. You really don't know. And so if there is that disagreement at this time, and I did this exactly at this time last school year, I said, I really think because the teacher, we're going to have a different teacher, we're going to have a different rapport, we have the summer, the kid's going to be a little older. Let's take the first 30 to 60 days of the school year. Let's take some data. Let's maybe do an assessment. School year comes around. We start the new school year. We get the data. And then the team goes, this is a different kid, right?
Yep.
Because maybe that change in teacher, they got a little older, they had a summer break, actually did change things. Or in other cases, we've taken data and this assumption that these behaviors are happening all the time and we can't handle them. Now we have an antecedent to the behavior and we have a plan of action that we can try. And then you try that. So it's important that if we are asserting stay put, that we have a plan of like, how do we resolve this disagreement? Because otherwise you're going to constantly be in this push and pull battle of the school district thinking your child needs something different and you don't, where we're not really seeing eye to eye and the child is not going to benefit from it if we can't, you know, because if the school district thinks that something needs to change, whether it's increase or decrease services, we really need to have concrete data one way or another in order to really decide what is or isn't working. So I think that's my biggest takeaway is that it's not enough to just assert stay put. We need to have a plan of action of, you know, how do we prove it to the school district that the stay put is appropriate?
I was actually thinking of the recent case that you had where the goals were not passed and the district wanted to kind of rewrite them to actually make them easier. And my understanding was that it wasn't, you know, sometimes the team, and look, if you have us as your attorneys, which we're not your attorneys yet, this is all just generalities that we're talking about in hypotheticals, but when you're only having an IEP once a year and you're not really having communication, open dialogue with the teacher, and it's like, you know what? We realize that this goal, we needed a step to before we could even get there and we missed that step. So now we want to, you know, rewrite. We know that he didn't pass this goal. We're rewriting this goal. You know, we're adding more services. I think that is a very different situation than the one that you had where basically the child did not pass the goals and then they were trying to water down.
Yeah. Well, so in situations where school districts are trying to take away services or decrease services, a lot of times parents will stay put and the school district will say, well, we can't start working on these new goals. And the situation that Vicky's talking about is one where in this case, the parents actually were happy about that because they felt like the proposed goals were not appropriate because the child had not met the goals. They wanted to continue working on them. Where the school district's perspective was that the goals were too challenging. We need to, you know, decrease the severity of the goals. In the parents' view, it was being watered down. They weren't challenging enough. And so we can use it to our benefit. And a lot of times, like, school districts will try to say, like, oh, but the goals, you know, we can't work on these goals. And I have had stay put where students are working on a goal for 2 years because the parents stay put on goals. And sometimes that is needed to really gather more information. Other times, of course, that's not appropriate. Like, we should be changing goals.
Right.
So, I mean, there's
or
a lot
adding
of
services so that the child can reach those goals more appropriate.
So, a lot of factors to consider.
Yeah. And I mean, we've interchangeably, you know, when you look at stay put, it's, you know, when the, you know, the legal terms, when the district is proposing a change in the educational placement. Placement sounds like a location. At times it is, but it also includes, as Amanda and I have discussed, different services, goals, and things like that. And the kind of final note that we wanted to add is that there is potentially an exception to the stay put rule. And it is if the child is, the current placement is, you know, going to result in injury to the child or others, or, you know, the child, you know, has, is being suspended, potentially expelled, you know, carrying drugs or a weapon, then you cannot insert, you know, assert stay put to say, well, the child needs to just stay here. We do have the law that says that the school can remove the child for up to 45 days. However, in that time, the school and you are required to try to, you know, address the situation with services, you know, another placement, you know, like Amanda said, with the data. But for the most part, again, I think the key takeaway is that stay put is very powerful. It needs to be done in a way, depending on the facts of your case. And of course, like our friend Victoria says in her TikToks, you know, we're not your attorneys yet. So if you have a situation where you're contemplating using stay put, just message us and Maybe we'll talk about your case.
Social media. Send me your if you have questions about situations about like specific to stay put, either, you know, go on our website and ask for a consultation, or you can send us a message and we can do more little Q&A on it on our social media as well.
Hang in there, listeners. We're close. We just got these last few months.
Yep.
And almost summer. You'll make it to summer. All right. Take it easy. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.